Welcome, everyone, to episode 392 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. And for this episode, welcome back, Mr. Jeremy Weltman. This is the first half of 2024 albums review. We're going to touch upon a bunch of different albums that stood out to the two of us throughout the first half of the year, basically what I said, from January to June. Check it out next.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
To quote William Bailey, better known as W. Axl Rose, from 1991's Use Your Illusion, "Sometimes I feel like I'm beating a dead horse." But these episodes are done for people that haven't been checking out music, and I get it, or haven't been checking out new music that's been coming out this year, and I get it. Life gets in the way. Every one of us has different things that's going on in our lives. We can't always do it. So that's why Jeremy and I are here to help out by pointing out some cool albums that we've been listening to throughout the year. Initially, the idea was to just talk about a few. And we talked about a whole lot more. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It is always fun to talk music, talk rock, to talk metal. Can I say that? We were talking metal. It's fun to catch up and just talk about music that we love and help spread the word to others, because there's so much out there and sometimes it's just difficult to sort out so much material, but it's there. Just have to find it. The episode again. I don't want to say it's great. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think it is a good listen. It is a good listen, especially if you've missed out on any of these albums that we're mentioning. So I do want to remind you guys to go to signalsfrommars.com. You can support the show by either picking up merch. We have t-shirts, we have sweatshirts, we have jackets, bucket hats, baseball caps. All types of things, various ranges and sizes and different designs. You also have the ability to sign up for Patreon for as little as $2 a month. You get my additional podcast, the Victor M. Ruiz podcast. You get videos posted on a daily basis, which are discussed, and a bunch of other fun. I almost said fun and annoying. No, not annoying, just fun things that we chat about. Maybe I can be annoying, but I don't try to be. Anyway, so there's a bunch of different things that you can do to support there. There's Amazon, there's PayPal, buy me a coffee /pizza, so on and so forth. Anyway, just go to signalsfrommars.com. And if you can't support economically, which nobody's holding a gun to anybody's head, help share the episodes on social media. Follow on all the more popular and even less popular social media platforms. I'm going to go dark on some of those for the next month or so, just because I'm going to be on vacation. It's going to be difficult to keep up while I'm away, but everything is programmed out. Everything is scheduled out so that if you are subscribed to the RSS, you will continue to get episodes. And I will have to do some finagling, but that's fine. I'll see what I can do. I'll do my best. How about that? Hope you guys enjoy this episode. Hope you guys are having a great summer. And we've got another episode next week, which will be What If John Bush? And in September, hopefully I will be back with some cool interviews and other cool concepts to discuss with you guys. All right, let's get on with the episode, folks. welcome one and all to episode. I can actually give this an episode number. This is going to end up being episode 392 of the audio version. This is essentially our recap of the first half of 2024 when it comes to releases, when it comes to albums, EPs, compilations, live albums. But for the most part, we always focus on new music. And joining me, as usual, my trusted companion for these types of chats, Mr. Jeremy Weltman. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Hi, Victor. Yeah, doing really well. Thank you. Listening to a lot of rock and metal at the moment, which is always a good thing. With it being summertime, it's time to play a lot more stuff than in the winter.
Absolutely.
Because you're awake longer.
You're awake longer, and also you can kind of interject music on walks and runs and bike rides and drives out on the weekend. So there's a lot of different things as opposed to just, I mean, it's cool sitting at home and listening to music, but if you can get out and kind of combine the two, that's always neat as well.
Yeah.
So cool. We're going to go back and forth. I'm not sure what Jeremy has on his list, and Jeremy's not sure what I have on my list. I'm sure there will be some sort of overlap, but the initial idea is to discuss five different albums of our choosing, and we're going to go back and forth. I'm going to let Jeremy start, and we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, you've limited everything by saying only five, because as I sort of mentioned just off air, just as we were about to start, you know, probably got about 19 different albums on this list because there was so much great music that's been released so far this year. I can't believe it, to be honest. I didn't expect it. That was one thing. There's a lot of famous names on my list, but there's also a few that, you know, haven't released albums for a while, or they're slightly lesser names, and I think that's good as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention for my number five an album by a British band, Lionheart, The Grace of a Dragonfly, which came out in February the 23rd, I believe. As you know, Lionheart been going for a long time. Dennis Stratton was in the band. There's a few other famous names who've been in and out of the band over the years, and they haven't released a lot of music, you know, all the time. And to be honest, I did remember them back in the day. I think I picked up an album by them, you know, in the 80s. And then I kind of forgot all about them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But this album is a really, really good. So it's a sort of concept album about the about war, and, you know, around the sort of Second World War, really. And it's has some really great songwriting on it. It's very well produced. And, you know, it's got great melodies to the music, and, you know, listen to it several times, really enjoy it. I think they made a really good job of it. So that would be my number five. There's not much more to say about it. You know, I just really enjoy it. I think it's a good old, British sounding album as well. You know, if I can say that, there's quite a few this year, you know, that have a lot of melody to them. And I may mention one or two others as we go on. I think it's been a great year for British metal, probably better than some.
So I'm going to keep things in the UK as, since you started out there, I'm going to continue there, and I'm going to hit you up with Orange Goblin and Science, Not Fiction. There's going to be a common theme here, because a lot of the music that I've really dug this year is really in that vein of doom metal, stoner rock, stoner hard rock, stoner metal, however you want to call it, drinking from the well that was first plenished full of water by Black Sabbath, of drinking from that Sabbath well, I should say. I've gotten to see Orange Goblin live. This is their first album in quite a few years, and they've never disappointed. They're heavy, punishing. You know, it's funny, when a lot of people bring up High on Fire and bands of that ilk, not to besmirch them in any way, shape, or form, but Orange Goblin is always one of my go-to bands when it comes to that style of heavy metal. So, for me, my fifth mention, and this isn't us saying this is our top five or whatever. This is just us throwing out albums for you, the listener, to check out if you aren't aware of any of these. So the first thing that I want to mention is that Orange Goblin, Science Not Fiction.
Yeah, it's interesting. Orange Goblin, they were formed in the sort of mid-90s, and often when there's bands formed around that time, I've not really got into them very much because of just things going on in my family life. You know, I got married and we were having children and all that sort of stuff, and I didn't get into, you know, as much metal as I should have at that time. Mm-hmm. And so they aren't a band that I'm as familiar with as some other people, and so, you know, you're recommending me sort of really going back into their back catalog as well as listening to this album, which yes. I will plan to do, and that could be some good fun to, you know, to do that over the next few months.
There you go. Some homework.
Yeah.
All right. So what is the next album that you would like to discuss?
So this is an interesting one for me at this stage because I've got my top three sort of bolted on, but I'm really going to make a decision live on air here, or at least on the recording for when everyone listens to it, because there are about five or six that I could put into the next slot, which I think are just a little bit above Lionheart in okay. the quality and the listenability. But I hadn't really made up my mind. I'm going to go for the Grand Slam album, Wheel of Fortune, that was okay. released in June. And by the way, I could have mentioned others. I'll probably just mention those now in passing. It could have been Praying Mantis. It could have been Witherfall. It could have been one or two others. We might mention others later. So I'm going to go for the Grand Slam album. I didn't necessarily really like this when I first listened to it. I thought it had, it was a little bit of a sort of poor Thin Lizzy. But when I listened to it again and again, I really got into it. I thought, yeah, this is just one of those really enjoyable listens. You know, I think, they got the melodies right. The production was right. And they've produced, you know, some songs that do sound a bit sort of Lizzy type, as if, you know, if Lizzy were going now, they might sort of do that kind of stuff. And it was just great to hear Grand Slam again, because, you know, they haven't been around producing music all the time. And sometimes, you know, we welcome back into the metal fold, the classic rock fold, bands that haven't, you know, been around for a while, and they want to produce music again, and I think that's a really good thing. So, yeah, I'm going to go for that Grand Slam effort.
Okay. For me, I'm going to kind of keep it in that same Orange Goblin type of vein. This is a band that I've mentioned to my patrons several times, turned, I think, quite a few of you guys onto them. They're a band out of Sweden. The name of the album is Wheel of Illusion. The band is The Quill. And similar type of vibe as Orange Goblin. Maybe a slightly more melodic. And I would say the album is probably better than the album from Orange Goblin. Not to say that, you know, again, that the Orange Goblin is bad, because I mentioned it, but I think off of the Orange Goblin, there's like five songs that went into my 2024 playlist, and for The Quill was something like nine. So it's really a fantastic album. Again, it's in the doom stoner vibe. Really cool, because you get that Swedish kind of side of things. So there's some different ingredients going on there, but it's definitely a worthwhile listen. It's something that I would definitely recommend people checking out. So, Jeremy, what do you pick next?
Yeah. So my, number three on my list, was quite easy, really. So we're sort of discarding a lot of stuff, which, was all super, but I'm going to go for the Dust Bowl album, Sound and Fury, which came out in February. Dust Bowl are a band, as you know, that, tend to do, just basic thrash. And you know, they're good at it. I've enjoyed a lot of their stuff in the past. They came out with something quite different. They even looked different. They sort of wore, from what I remember, they wore clothes that were all white on the cover. They decided to go, you know, in a more sort of modern, progressive direction. But they had some great songs on there and a lot of power. They didn't discard the thrash completely, you know, it was there. But they've crafted out a new sound for the band. Of course, it raises the question as to whether they're going to continue in that vein or whether this is just a one-off and they're going back to, you know, doing what they did before. But I thought it was very brave. I thought it worked. I enjoyed the album. I enjoyed listening to it again. And it's, you know, it was a super release very early in the year. So, yeah, Dust Bolt, brilliant.
Okay. Awesome. I just wrote down to check that album out again. I completely forgot about revisiting that one. Let's see. For my number three here, this is hard.
Yeah.
We may have to do quite a few honorable mentions.
Definitely.
I'm going to go with the Lucifer 5 album. You know what you're getting when you hear Lucifer. It's a throwback to the 70s. Again, very, very occult theme to it. I mean, that's really not what makes me gravitate to it. But the melodies, the female vocals on top of, It's Sabbath-y. It's a bit Deep Purple sounding as well, maybe without as much prog. It feels like 60s pop at times as well. There's a lot of different things going on, and Lucifer always seems to deliver with the albums. There's always a few songs off of each album that end up in a playlist somewhere. And I definitely think it's one that people should go back and check out.
Yeah, certainly one I'd like to have a listen to as well. It's amazing when we do these things, how we're coming at these things from, you know, we're picking out completely different albums, and that's a great thing. And, you know, the listener out there has got so much choice, really, and we're just proving it by, you know, these are our top five as well. They're not just any bands that we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. What do you have?
Number two is, I think there's probably no surprise here. I know Brad Dahl will be listening to this at some future point, and he'll be clapping his way through this because it's Saxon with Hellfire and Damnation. Oh, wow. Came out in January. As you know, I'm a big Saxon fan, so that helps. As you know, they're one of the great British institutions, so that helps. It also helps that they've been producing some very consistent music over the last sort of three or four albums. One or two of them are better than others. Some songs are better than others, but they, you know, they get the production right on most of them. They get that sort of Saxon feel throughout, you know, which is always there. Great live act, and it's great to hear some of those. Well, I did hear, you know, three tracks off this album live this year. I don't think it's, you know, their very, very best album, but I do think it's, you know, good 8 out of 10, and it's a very listenable album. It's one that, you know, I'll go back to and listen again and again, and that's why I put it in you know, second place. It also features Brian Tatler on guitar now, and he's, you know, had a little bit of an influence on the guitar, well, on the songwriting a little bit, and we'll probably get a bit more of that on the next album, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. Biff's voice just sounds great, and, you know, if you play a Saxon album really loud and you like Saxon, this is going to appeal to you. It's a great listen. And, oh, by the way, one extra thing. They did a song called 1066, and many Saxon fans were saying they can't believe that Saxon had never done a song called 1066 before, which is obviously, you know, the Battle of Hastings, which is very important in British history. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they do all these songs about all types of British history right through to the modern era, and they've never done one on 1066, so that was quite remarkable.
Excellent. Cool. So My second pick here, one that hasn't gone over with everyone on Patreon. It is the latest album, actually came out last month. It is from the band Kitty, the Canadian band, the four-piece female band, one, possibly the only band. No, not the only band. One of the only bands that I've actually interviewed all four members at one point in time. So I'm thrilled that they're back with a new album. I didn't expect to enjoy the album as much as I do. I've been listening to it quite a bit these last few days. The name of the album is Fire. I think I've posted four or five videos to Patreon because they've released quite a few videos leading up to the release of the album. And like I said, I've interviewed them a bunch. They've been, I don't know if I want to say that they've been forgotten, because with any of these bands, they have a diehard audience. And when I got to see them, I've actually seen them live as well, which is where I interviewed two of them. The place was relatively packed, and they're a band that I think laid a lot of groundwork during the 90s. Did a lot of things that females at the time were not known for doing. And even though you have your arch enemies and stuff like that, where you had an Angela Gosso take over and others afterwards, where you started to see female vocalists and whatnot. No, this was female singer, guitarist, sister drummer, bass player, and second guitarist. So it's still, to me, I mean, I think it's a big deal that this band came around when they did. They should be more famous than they are, but is what it is. They are a metal band after all, and not everyone is into the growling. We know that. So anyway, so I would recommend checking out Fire by Kitty if you're into, again, I wouldn't say it's extreme metal, because there's a lot of clean melodies as well. There's a mix of clean and guttural vocals. So cool album. Check it out.
Interesting. Yeah. So we're at that number one stage. What is our number one album of the half year? And of course, I'm going to pick Judas Priest, Invincible Shield. Came out in March. It's beyond belief. I've listened to this many times. I've got the picture disc, and I play it pretty regularly, and I play it, you know, reasonably loud. I think this is possibly, and I'll stick my neck out here, possibly their best album that they've ever made.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's certainly the most enjoyable album at the moment that I'm listening to. That may change. You know, obviously I'm not dissing any of their back catalog. I'm not dissing the old great songs that they've done in the past. I just think for a band that is so late in their career to produce an album that is this good, that is lasting in my ears and is better than Firepower, quite remarkably so, I think. It's really amazing that they could do that. I think they've got the tempo right on this album, whereas they didn't quite get it on the last two. They did get it quite right on Firepower. You know, it was a much better effort than the previous one. But I think this one, it's got such an energy to it. I don't know whether it's because, you know, the guitarists are knitting together now because they've been playing together a while, or what it is, whether, you know, because Rob Halford is now feeling much better. You know, we know he's had cancer in the past. I don't know what it is, but they've just got it right on this. And I think the songs are amazing. I haven't got a favorite song because I like it all. I just like it all. They all seem to get gel together. They all have that essential Judas Priest melody, that essential Judas Priest heaviness. And you know, as you know, I love the band anyway, but this was a real step up, a real rung on the ladder. And if this is their last album, they've gone out on the highest of highs that no other metal band has done, I don't think.
Yeah, if this was the year end, the definite list, this would be my number one as well. I think I'm like the songs off of Firepower a little more.
Okay.
But I will say this, when revisiting the album, because I haven't listened to it in a few months purposely, because I didn't want to, you know, there was a point there where I was just listening to this over and over again. And I said, I'm going to burn myself out on it. I don't want to do that. So I kind of gave it a rest. What I think they got right with this album was I think they were trying to do the same structure on Angel of Retribution. And I'll explain why. On Angel of Retribution, they have a song that, oh, well, we need a song that sounds like as if it came off a Painkiller. Okay, so there's this song. Oh, we need another song that sounds as if it was a British Steel song. Okay, let's do that. We need a ballad. Let's do that. You know, so it seemed as if they were picking and choosing and trying to create songs in the ilk of, as opposed to just kind of letting things go. I think with this album, with Invincible Shield, I think they, and this is what Andy Sneap does to bands. Andy Sneap will tell them, listen to your music or listen to what influenced you at the time of when you were recording this or what you were doing with that. And the reason that I bring it up is because there's little nuances, things where how Scott Travis is playing, which is very reminiscent to Les Binks is playing in the 70s. He's playing certain notes on the hi-hat. He's doing certain syncopated beats that's similar to what they'd done during Stained Class and those albums in that period. Excuse me. So I think that they went back to an idea that kind of didn't work, and they made it work this time. Because I think much to what you're saying is they're more of a team now. So yeah, Andy is the producer, but he's been on tour with them for how many years? I have to check the songwriting credits to see what Andy Sneap wrote with the rest of the band. If he wrote anything, maybe he didn't. But I think he's got a better feel for where the band should go. Definitely what you said. There's no other band, none, that sounds remotely like they do with this album. Maiden hasn't come close to this in a long time. I mean, you know, because I've mentioned this to you, I've mentioned it to a lot of people. Since Halford has come back, I think Angel of Retribution has one great song, and the rest of it is just kind of okay. It's not bad, but it's not great. It's not where I want Priest to be. Nostradamus was terrible. Redeemer of Souls is, for the most part, terrible. The sound is just so bad on that. That album was a cry for what we talked about in the previous previously we recorded, and we talked about the interview I did with Anvil with Lips and the importance of a producer. They self-produced Redeemer of Souls. That guitar sound is terrible. It is one of the worst guitar sounds, not only for Priest, but for any band ever. And it just makes you think, well, why are they doing this? They can afford to have a producer come in. And I get it. It's a lot of it is ego, to be able to be told, you know, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. And they didn't do it on that album. I think Firepower righted the ship. And this all comes down to opinion, but I think this continues what they started to do. I think maybe sonically this panic, again, with them phasing in different eras of the band. I think Panic Attack with those keyboards is definitely, you know, could have been on Turbo or Ram It Down easily. But Yeah,
I love Panic Attack. I love the beginning of that. It's great. I agree with you on the sonic sound. You know, I just think that it is a huge improvement on all the, you know, they've gone better and better on the last couple of albums.
Right.
In the sound. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. So I didn't want to rank these because I think that these will shift, and because my number one, I mean, I kind of am going in any sort of order, to be honest with you. The last album that I want to mention, and I really, really thought to myself, no, it sounds too generic in places. It sounds too commercial, but damn, does it sound good. When it's good, it's great. Some people are going to shit on me for this. It is The Other Side of Mars from Mick Mars.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of what he's doing on here is sorely missed with what Motley Crue has done for a long time. The riffs are great. The melodies are great. Like I said, there's some stuff that's way commercial, way radio friendly, way let's get on the radio, let's get a hit, which isn't indicative of the entire album. But I think it's an album that really should be checked out personally.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, I really enjoyed that album when it came out. It's not one I've played much since. I probably haven't returned to it, but I probably will. And again, you know, could feature in my top 10 for the whole year.
Yeah.
Because it was great. And you're right about it being better. You know, it's what Motley Crue should be doing, that sort of putting more energy into the stuff and writing better songs. And yeah, that's what he does. But he's also, you know, he's got a bit of freedom to do what he wants, and he's done it.
Yeah, I agree. So I have a few other albums on here that I want to ask you about, because I know that you've listened to them.
Mm.
And I want to know if they're anywhere on that list of 19.
Mm.
There's two in particular. So one is Humanoid by Accept. Would that happen to be part of your 19?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. So I've listened to this a few times this last week, more so than when it came out, and mm-hmm. it's helped kind of change my opinion on this album.
Okay.
I do think that, similar to what we said with Priest, I think that we're seeing how some of the newer players have maybe influenced where they've gone with this album a little. I mean, not a whole lot, because let's be honest, Except is one person.
Hmm.
After Peter Baltz has even said that during this last run that he was just a employee, that he really didn't have much say. So I'm thinking that Wolf Hoffman has decided to listen to some of the other people that are now part of the band, because they've got three guitarists. They've got obviously a new bass player as well. This is funny, on Google it lists Michael Wagner, who's a producer, as a member of the band. So he is not. He is produced the band. This is interesting. Google does not list the actual band. So let's see what Wikipedia says. Okay, so there is a contingent. So the band has two Germans, one guy from New Jersey, and three guys that are from the Nashville area. I'm thinking that, and especially Philip Schaus, who is now the third guitarist in the band, has had a lot to do with the songwriting because he's been involved with people like Gene Simmons and Ace Frehley and others like that playing in their touring bands. He's been known to play in a lot of other bands over the years, does a lot of cover stuff in Nashville. I have to look at the credits. I don't know if he's credited or not, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he's, again, just an employee. So he's not getting the full songwriting credits. But I think that the album is better than the last few. And again, not at Priest level, but I do think that, yeah. So on this, do you expect this to be part of your top 10 at the end of the year?
That's a good question. I think I need to listen to it more like you have, because I'm like that with Accept. You know, I can put them down for a while and then I'll play them. In fact, I was playing Stalingrad this week because I just pulled it out and I thought, you know, that's a great album. Give it a listen. I'm never overly won by Accept. I think sometimes they grab me, you know, if I play them loud enough and I'm in the mood. But what I would say is that I really like The Rise of Chaos, which I think was probably, about three albums ago. And I really like that one. I thought there were some good songs on it. When I listened to this one, I just thought, well, it was very samey. I thought it was better than Too Mean to Die, the previous one, which I thought was probably, you know, the weakest of the current lot.
Right.
But I wasn't overly won over by this one. I thought, you know, it's Accept. It has that Accept sound. The songs are all the same sort of riffs rehashed. But you know, I'm willing to give it another try. It wasn't terrible. It's nothing that I would, you know, I would toss out. I mean, if someone was to send me a free copy of it, of course, I'd be very happy to receive one and I'd play it in the car or whatever. It's just that I didn't think that they'd made the progress that I was expecting, or they were doing something a little bit different. And maybe I shouldn't be expecting that of Accept. So that's a band that won't do, you know, much that's different. I'm open to hearing it again, and I'm not sure whether it's going to feature in my top 10. That's where I am at the moment.
Okay. All right. So interesting, because Andy Sneap produced this again. And as I'm saying, Martin Motnick, who is the bass player, has co-written quite a few songs off of this. Mark Tornillo has co-written everything that the bass player hasn't co-written. So there you go. And even so what I said, Phil Schaus has no writing credits on here. So it is the bass player. It is Martin Motnick who is the one that along with Tornillo who are the ones that have helped kind of evolve the sound. Look, I'm not going to say that it's not samey, because it is. Interesting. So he was part of a band called The Rocks, who's from Nashville, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember seeing them on Headbangers Ball, the last iteration of it, and enjoying some of what they released. All right. So the second album that I wanted to mention to you is Quantum Phase by The End Machine. This is an album, when it came out, that grabbed me right away. I've always loved the pairing of George Lynch and Jeff Pilson. They almost always come up with something really good. I don't know why they waste their time with this rubbish of covering modern pop songs like they have recently with two releases. Because they're just so good together. This album is the first one without Robert Mason with The End Machine. It has Gurish. Gurish and the Chronicles on lead vocals. It's much better than what I expected. And this is kind of, if you're wanting a classic Dokken album in the feel of those original few Dokken albums, this is what I would point you to. Jeremy, is this part of your 19?
Yes, it is. Another one okay. That's there. So I did consider this one for the top five. So it could end up again on the top 10. We never know yet. I agree with you. I think Girish does a good job here replacing Mason. I think, I bought the previous album and I really like it. I thought it had some good songs on it, good sort of classic rock sounding to it. We know the guitar work's going to be good. I thought this one was a little harder for me to get into. I don't know whether it's because I'd heard the previous one and in my mind I was thinking, well, that's probably enough for me from this band. You know, some bands you get, you just want an album's worth of material. And when they release right. another one, which is fairly similar, you're thinking, well, I'm not too bothered. So I think I'm going to park that one in the same category as Accept, where I'm going to actually have to give it another listen, because I don't think I've really listened to it properly since it first came out. And that's the issue. But I think, giving it time, giving a little bit of a lapse, I might be really into it, the second time.
Okay.
Because that happens.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Out of those 19, which would you say kind of stands out for being really different from the rest, where maybe even people would think, wow, I wouldn't expect Jeremy to be into this one, or it's something completely different that kind of catch people off guard?
Yeah, there's probably quite a few, but I'll try and limit it. I quite enjoyed the Witherfall album. Now, people may sort of say, well, that's not unexpected because I picked that out as their previous album as I think album of the year. Right. But they are a very different type of band, aren't they? They're very sort of prog sound, mm-hmm. but they do it really well. They have that unique vocal. This one follows the previous album very much in a similar vein, but there is, probably about four or five songs on it that are excellent. The playing is superb. They can't half play their instruments. And when they get the songs right as well, they're onto a winner. So that would be one. Another one, maybe because I've never really been into the band at all, much since the very early days, is Riot V. Okay. So, I liked Riot when they released Narita and one other album, I can't remember what it is, back in the day. And I haven't really listened to the band at all since then. Didn't know much about what they're producing now. And I listened to that one and I thought, yeah, that rocks. That's that's good heavy old school metal rock. It's great. So, yeah, I enjoyed that one. And I think the third one, if I can just mention a third one that you may not, again, similar type of thing, really, is the Rods album. Okay. Very simplistic kind of metal rock. But I think they do it really well. They have some really catchy songs on it. And again, it's a band that I only ever heard their debut album, I think, back in the day, and then sort of lost interest, I guess, amongst all the famous bands and bands that sort of rose through the ranks. And I think the Rods just faded away for me. So, yeah, that'd be another one.
If you had to reach for the new Anvil album or the Rods, which one would you go for?
Oh, that's a good question, because I've heard the Anvil one very recently and the Rods I haven't heard for a little while. I think overall, probably the Rods.
Okay. The reason that I ask is because I would say that they're both kind of in the same kind of, I don't want to say category, but I think if you like the Rods, you would probably like Anvil and vice versa.
Yeah.
So not to say that they're copies of one another, but I think fans of the other. So for me, and if you've listened to this show, one of these really isn't that far stretched. It is from the, I guess you could say German-American band now, KMFDM, Let Go. They're an industrial metal band that I've been into since the 90s. To me, they're either hit or miss. Either I absolutely love stuff that they release, or I don't care for it. There's kind of like no in between. So I hadn't listened to this album in a while. And it's funny, as soon as I turned it on, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this song. I remember the other song. So it was cool. They're great at heavy guitars with, you know, a kind of dancey beat to it. Great vocals, great melodies, sing-alongs that get stuck in your head and make you want to, sing over and over again. That always is great. The other one is a band called Slope. I believe this is their third album, third full length. Name of the album is Freak Dreams. Reminds me a lot of Suicidal Tendencies, early Red Hot Chili Peppers, really funky and heavy guitars at the same time. Really cool, different sounding, a real throwback. And I appreciate what this album is all about. It's completely different to anything that I usually listen to. And revisiting some of the tracks this week, I was like, wow, this is cool. This is, again, a throwback and something, you know, kind of a refresher that will then make you want to go back and listen to some of these other albums or songs with, you know, a kind of different look. So I'd recommend checking that out. I don't expect you to have either Slope or KMFDM on your team.
No, you're right. You're completely right. Yeah.
Okay, and I have a Dark Horse album here.
Okay.
Okay, one that I thought initially was going to be a death metal band because the name of the band is Kryptos. Hmm. The name of the album is Decimator. Hmm. And that, to me, had death metal written all over it. And it couldn't sound more like new wave of British heavy metal if it tried.
Okay.
Okay. I don't want to say that it's definitely not low budget production. It sounds like a throwback. It's got modern take on some things enough to make it still sound old school. And at the same time, there are some things that are thrown in there to kind of differentiate it from a band that's only trying to do retro heavy metal. So there are some thrashier things thrown in there. And I think it's a cool album that I think a lot of people like yourself may be interested in checking out.
Yeah, I've actually written it down as you were speaking, and I'm going to check it out. That's where we are with that one. Yeah, certainly okay. Going to do that.
And any sort of underdog pick for you? Any like lesser known band that you recommend people checking out?
Yeah, I mean, I could mention a couple of the bigger names as well that we haven't even touched on, but I will pick one out that's a bit of an underdog. Demon, the okay. British new album band, actually were new wave of British heavy metal band. They were always a bit of a melodic outfit. They're probably not very well known now, I wouldn't have thought, you know, by everyone. But they released an album called Invincible in May. I thought it was really good. I thought it was very melodic. Again, great songwriting. I think this is a typical of the British albums that have been released this year. I think the songwriting's been good, and they've kept a sort of a nice pattern of melody on those albums, and I really liked it. I thought the lead singer, who's the original singer, is getting on a bit now. He sounds old. I think I mentioned at the time that I thought he might have even had a stroke because he was struggling a little bit with his vocal. But actually listening to it again and again, I really like his gruff voice. So, you know, it's quite kind of unique. And I think, you know, they put out a really good effort that they could be proud of, and it's worth a listen.
Cool. Very, very good. On that note, I do want to bring something up that kind of came to mind as you were mentioning it. The singer having some health issues. We recently heard about Jack Russell having to step down from being an active touring artist, best known for Great White. We knew that Andrew Freeman was going to be fronting the band for a few dates there. We talked about it a little while back there. Now we know that he's got a the same disease that
Louis Bodies
had.
Yeah, is it Louis Bodies?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know my dad has that as well. Yeah.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah. It's I think it's a variant on the Parkinson's or dementia, variant on dementia, I think. So, you know, it affects people in a similar way to those sort of illnesses.
Right.
Yeah, tends to come with age, I guess. Don't know a huge amount about it because my dad's only in the sort of early stages of it, that kind of thing. Right. But I think it can get worse. Yeah.
Yeah, from the article that or from the information posted on Blabbermouth, it mentioned that it's oftentimes misdiagnosed as Alzheimer's or Parkinson's.
Yeah,
that a lot of the symptoms are very similar.
Yeah,
they're all neurological diseases. So it's unfortunate. I'm wondering if he's at a point where he could still record.
Yeah.
Maybe he can't tour, but maybe, I don't know, maybe Frontier still has a 4-album deal left that he has to shore up, and we're all of a sudden going to see another Russell Gunn's album this year and something else, you know, to kind of tie up that contract. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends how far advanced it is, I guess. But I would imagine that he could sing, certainly, you know, record quite easily, because from my experience of that in its early stages is that, you know, you might get some shaking, you might get some forgetfulness, so you wouldn't be able to remember your lyrics on stage without, you know, a prompt or whatever, and you wouldn't be able to sort of stand very easily or whatever. But, you know, in a studio, I think you'd be pretty reasonably fine. I don't think it affects your actual singing voice from what I know. Yeah, certainly not initially.
Well, we definitely wish him the best. The other thing that I thought was kind of cool was that Mark Kendall from Great White did come out and say, you know, even though we've had, and this is the kind of... I'm paraphrasing it because I couldn't, I should have prepared for this. I didn't know that I was going to go on this tangent. So the demon subject brought this up, but Mark Kendall said something to the effect of, you know, our differences are business related. He's still a brother to me and I don't wish him any ill will and stuff like that. So yeah. I thought that was kind of cool to see that. And, you know, I hope that Jack can traverse life in the best way possible. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Second that.
Yeah. Anything else that you would like to touch upon before we wrap things up?
Just say an honorary mention for Sebastian Bach's album, which we didn't mention. Okay. An honorary mention for Sonic Universe. Honorary mention for Praying Mantis. There are so many. Everyone needs to go back and listen to the weekly episodes that we do, as we do them on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
And, you know, we review every single week.
Yeah, I agree. It's served up for you on a silver platter. If you go to signalsfrommars.com right on the homepage, if you scroll down, you'll find our album reviews, our monthly album reviews there, and you can go back and check out the 6 that have come out before this episode, and then you can check this one out again to see where we stand with some of these albums after 6 months. And we'll see in a few months how some of these stands, where we actually have to decide our top 10.
That should be exciting. Yeah. I always look forward to that one.
Excellent. So on that note, I believe that we will be ending the episode. I want to thank you guys for joining us, for watching this episode. The episode will be released. If you're watching this quote unquote live. This will be coming out on August 16th, and we are recording this on July 24th. So there you go. We're pulling back the curtain there a little and letting you guys know some of the secret sauce ingredients. But always fun to talk to Jeremy about music, and hope that you guys can appreciate the chemistry that we have talking about these albums, and hope that this serves for you guys to go back and check out some of this great music. So remember, there's always some good music coming out. You just have to search it out. Do not be a lazy listener.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So on that note, we bid you farewell. Everything is ready to go from here to September. So we will see you back at the end of summer, beginning of fall. Thank you, Jeremy, for coming on and for everyone's support. And we'll see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Thank you for listening to the Signals from Mars podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.